From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is made in a front yard at a house just north of Geneva, New York. The house has a massive Trump 2020 sign, and there is added text. The sign reads, Trump 2020, the sequel. Make liberals cry again. How does that sign make you feel? More than any time I can recall, political yard signs and even political flags are making blood pressure rise. Neighbors are refusing to talk to one another or asking for signs to be taken down, leaving notes in mailboxes. A polarized country feels ever more polarized. This hour, we'd like to understand the psychology behind political signs and flags. Our guests this hour include four local residents sharing their thoughts about political signs and, frankly, what it means to be a neighbor. Andrea Holland is a Rochester resident. Andrea, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Also a Rochester resident, Seth Steinauer, is with us. Seth, thanks for taking the time.
No problem.
And a couple from Rochester. Eric and Terry are on different lines, I think, but you're both here. Eric and Terry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Terry's here.
Okay, welcome to both of you. Thank you. Thanks for making the time, guys. I want to ask all of you your experiences with this, and I'll be honest, I was struck first by seeing a post that Andrea made about your own experience thinking about flags, signs, whether you can put one up, whether you've ever wanted to. Andrea, take me through what's been going on with you.
Well, thank you, Evan. Yes, I will share that I posted recently to social media that I was driving down the street recently and saw that my neighbor was flying a very large flag proudly. And it got me thinking about the fact that for the last, I don't know how many months now, I've had some signs that I've wanted to put out in my own yard that I'm afraid to put out. For the very reason, for a few reasons, but primarily because of the fact that I fear backlash from neighbors who differ from my perspective, I'm afraid to put it in my yard. I am a single mom, and I live in a neighborhood where I look very differently than many of my neighbors. I'm a person of color, I'm Latino, and many other beautiful things. And I fear that my neighbors won't agree with it, and worse, that violence could come to my door. So it struck me that my neighbor, good for them, this is America, the greatest country in the world, I do believe that, feels free to fly their flag, and yet I do not. And that got me just thinking a lot about why and what causes that, and can it be remedied? And if it does, then how do I start that process for myself?
Do you feel that speaking out is unsafe for you right now?
In many ways, yes. Yeah. I feel that if I were to go just put it, you know, and honestly, I've never, ever in my life have I ever felt strongly enough about any particular causes or ideals that I felt like I needed to put it in my lawn. Because quite frankly, I want peace at my home. At the end of the day, I just want to go home and watch Netflix. I'm not interested in talking politics or anything like that. And honestly, it doesn't really, I've always felt, you know, why does anyone care what my perspective is? And yet, in these times, I am moved. I am suddenly very, very moved to post my perspective because I feel very strongly about certain causes and certain issues. I want to post about it, but I'm also hesitant that the minute I told someone I bought a sign, purchased a sign to put in my yard, I very excitedly was ready to go put it in the yard, and someone very close to me said, you don't want a brick through your window. And I thought, do I have to fear that? Really? Maybe I do. So, yes, I am concerned.
Okay. Let me turn to Seth, who is also a Rochester resident. And Seth, for you, my understanding is you also don't have yard signs up. Is that right?
No, I don't. I would never put up a yard sign or a bumper sticker. There's no. At the end of the day, it's a cost-benefit analysis, and I don't think anyone's changing their voter perspective on what I put up on my yard.
do you feel that if you put up signs as I think that I have it correct that you are a self-described conservative, but not necessarily a Trump voter. But if you put up, you know, sort of GOP-leaning signs, how do you think it would go over in your neighborhood?
Oh, it wouldn't go over at all. I'm sure I would be accosted on the street or something. People get pretty aggressive right now. Everyone's a little insane.
Well, I mean, Andrea is saying, you know, she's got the same kind of concern. She's worried about, you know, she was told if you put up a sign, you could get a brick through your window. I'm going to guess that Andrea would not be putting up a Trump 2020 sign.
No.
Seth, where do you see, I guess what I want to know from you, Seth, is where do you see what should be the line of tolerance in terms of being neighborly? What should we expect of neighbors during political seasons like this?
As far as politically, I mean, I'm in the, you can do whatever you want and you shouldn't have to worry about being judged. But like, as I said, I really don't see how you, like in a national election, like what's your thought process that you're going to put up the Biden sign or the Trump sign and someone's going to drive by and go like, oh yeah, Trump. Why did I think of that?
Because like, New York is a swing state.
Local election. But in national elections, you're really just like virtue signaling for whatever. Like, you're doing it for yourself, kind of.
I take that point. When you hear that people have signs that say "Trump 2020, the sequel, make liberals cry again," what goes through your mind when you see that?
It's kind of funny. I mean, it's a troll is what it is. It's not trying to teach anyone's mind. And, like, it worked because you quoted it on your show, and you clearly got some play in social media, which was probably his goal.
It's not very neighborly, though, is it?
I don't know. I don't have a problem with it.
Okay. Let me get Eric and Terry's experience. Eric and Terry have a sign, and their neighbors have a sign, and Eric, Terry, I'll let you guys decide who wants to kind of tell the story of what things look like on your street.
this is Eric. The first thing we put up was a nice big Biden flag. It was funny because at first the angle at which we had it, you know, typically you can have a flag coming straight out or sort of at an angle going up, and the wind would fold the flag on itself, and you couldn't tell what which way in the political spectrum we were. So we could very quickly change that. So it was obvious that it was a Biden flag. And then shortly after that, we got a Biden-Harris lawn sign. And Terry, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it's right after that where our neighbor put up a giant Trump banner, like actually blocking the beautiful view. It spans almost his entire porch and completely obstructs his view, and it supports Trump 2020, Keep America Great. Some of our neighbors I'm sorry?
And we should just clarify, like we usually have a flag anyway, so we fly the American flag all year round. We fly the gay pride flag all year round. And so those are the two things that we always have. So then when we put up the Biden sign, and by the way, I grew up very close to where Joe Biden was senator in Delaware. I was in San Francisco and Kamala Harris was part of the administration of the San Francisco city. So I have some connections to these candidates. And like Seth said, it's a personal thing. So it was a personal thing. It's not to change people's minds, but it's not necessarily for but it's a personal choice to put the flag out and the signs that we have in our yard out. We have some pretty high foot traffic where we are. And I have put my outdoor office because I work from home right now during COVID. And so my office is actually on the porch where the flags are. And the week after we put ours up, when our neighbor put up his Trump flag, people started to stop and go, wait, are you guys at war? Like, what's wrong? Like, is there something wrong here in the neighborhood? It doesn't change our neighbor or our neighborly relationship. It has not changed our relationship. We're still neighbors. We still share a garden. We still share a neighborhood. It's just that we have different political views. What's interesting too, though, is that some of the people that walk by, some of them give us the thumbs up. Yeah, that's great. Some give the thumbs down. One woman gave us the finger. So it was, yeah, it's definitely an interesting walk now when people walk by the house and see those two signs in opposition to one another.
Well, you make an interesting point. I think Seth's point's one I want to return to coming up here in just a moment, you know, the idea of what we're trying to accomplish with signs or flags and what it actually means. I'm going to get back to that in just a second. But when you talk about the relationship with your neighbor now, you know, you say that you share a garden. You know, you probably chat with your neighbor. You share a property line. But has this injured the relationship at all?
No. So, like, it's banner says, so it's "Keep America Great," and like some of our neighbors, like Terry said, it's a great neighborhood, and a lot of us are very closely knit. And some of the neighbors, other neighbors with whom we have great relationships, said that don't know these other neighbors very often because they're a little farther down the street, said that they're bad people. They're not bad people. We've known them for about 6 years now. Get along great. They're very nice. I would say, however, that I feel they're misguided people. We all have friends, family members, colleagues, et cetera, who voted Trump in 2016, you know, falling for the Make America Great Again slogan because, you know, he was going to cause fantastic things to happen, whatever those quote-unquote things could surely mean different things to different people. But, you know, in our opinion, here we are 4 years later. So is his banner saying keep America great? I mean, our country's in the worst state it's been in decades on many levels, so I'm not exactly sure what we're keeping great.
Okay. But do you talk to the neighbor about that? Do you say, look, you know, first of all, I mean, have you ever said to the neighbor, hey, you're living next door to a gay couple and we're worried about, you know, our own erosion of rights or our own future, given the sort of the current climate? Have you talked about that?
No.
We don't have a deep enough relationship with our neighbor on that level. We're neighbors, but we're not friends.
I see. Okay. And when people walk by and give you the finger, do you wave back? I mean, what do you?
I simply waved back.
You waved back. Okay. So, but before I get some listener feedback, which is already kind of coming in, let me ask all four of our guests then, if you're going to put up a sign or a flag, I mean, Seth, your point was you don't really do it. Would you do it for local politics? Because that is where I would think that it might get a little bit of attention.
I think in local politics, it does have some utility because that's almost word of mouth to get, especially with primaries and stuff. Like, I think there's some utility there. Most analysts, I think, will tell you, like, with most local elections, you can tell who's going to win by who has the most yard signs. So.
Okay.
I think there's some utility there. But then again, those aren't ever polarizing. Like, who knows who their town clerk is?
Nothing is more polarizing than sometimes school board races. I was going to say school board races. But I take the point. I mean, nothing comes close to what we're seeing on the national level. So, Seth, to you, it's just a Biden sign, a Trump sign, those kind of signs are virtue signaling to you, Seth?
Yeah. Everything. I think almost all national political signs are virtue signaling to show what team you're on.
Andrea, how do you see it?
You know, I do agree that to some level, national signs are just that. It's just, you know, literally flying your flag because it's no different than flying a team flag for, you know, Buffalo Bills or whomever you support. I'll never put local signs in my yard either for the same reasons I'm not putting other signs up now. And I should mention that the signs I'm speaking of are actually not political signs. Well, let me say, they shouldn't be construed as political. However, in this climate, they most definitely are, I believe. So, no, I don't intend, I reserve the right to change my mind on that one, but I don't intend to put up any political, national or local signs in my yard ever. The signs that I'm speaking of have different messages, like hate doesn't live here, so on and so forth. And I'm still hesitant to put them in the yard because some neighbors aren't going to like it.
We were hesitant at first, too, because we have one of those signs out. And when Eric first bought it, I thought, oh, gosh, here goes. It's kind of crazy. It's the one that says love is love. Black lives matter. No one's illegal. No humans are illegal. And then have that message on it. And the overwhelming positive support that we got from it was surprising to me.
Yeah, awesome. Same here. It is the first one we put out before any political signs. And I agree.
So this is where I think things are, even signs that have messages like that carry sort of an edge of, I guess, ideology. I mean, Brenda writes to us to say, in June, we put up a sign that says kindness. That's all. Just the word kindness. And it's been kicked over twice. That's from Brenda. I mean, Seth, if you're walking down the street and you see somebody's got a sign that says kindness, do you think that's political?
Yeah.
Okay. No, let's talk about this.
I think the sign they were just mentioning, I think is political. Like, I live in the neighborhood that has them all. I think they're all political. I don't kick them over. But
well, hold on a second.
To me, it's the same as what I said. It's a big virtue signal.
I don't think Eric and Terry would necessarily disagree, or maybe I'm wrong, Eric and Terry, on, you know, the sign that says love is love, no human is illegal, Black Lives Matter. I mean, of course there's some politics to that, given the fact that there are political conversations and policy conversations related to some of the issues that are sort of threaded into that sign. Is that fair, Eric and Terry?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Sure.
I think it definitely has a political undertone, but similar to the kindness, you know, there's different iterations, of course, of the flag. And the very last line of ours said, in a world, something along the lines of, in a world where you can be anything, if you can be anything, be kind. You know, and to me, that statement doesn't have, you know, isn't political, but some of the other parts of the sign can have, definitely do have a political undertone.
Well, this is where I would like all of our guests, if we could kind of, let's try to understand what this weird moment means, because Seth is arguing that even just a sign with the word kindness, Seth, we're not talking about the Black Lives Matter, love is love, those signs. Seth, if you see the word kindness on a sign sitting in someone's yard, do you think that's political?
Yeah.
You think that person's probably leaning to the political left?
I would bet a lot of money on it.
So, let's try to understand that. Why is kindness a liberal idea right now?
I mean, I think it's more like, oh, the Republicans are mean. They want to evict people. They want to put everyone in jail, deport all the immigrants. That's Republicans have been characterized as mean, so Democrats are kind. They never say no to anybody.
Evan, I have to point out, to be fair, the flag that you mentioned, Evan, says make liberals cry again?
Yeah.
And then you ask the question, is that neighborly? So if they're being characterized as that, why fly a flag that says we enjoy making people cry?
Seth, you want to respond to that?
I wasn't saying, well, I didn't say it wasn't. Like, if you want to, I never said it was wrong to put up this kind of sign. I just said you're virtue signaling and you're liberal. I never said it wasn't neighborly. Like,
you said that you thought it was. You thought it, okay, so let's talk about another kind of sign that we see. We see signs that say, "F your feelings." F your feelings. I can't
okay,
say the word.
Now, like, I do think profanity does cross the line. Like, keep the profanity out of it. You don't need to put profanity on a sign. I would say that's not neighborly, and that should be taken down.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. Now, but Seth, let's say that I'm walking down the street, and there is a sign that says, F your feelings. It doesn't say anybody's name. It doesn't say any politician. What political ideology you think resides in that residence?
Oh, probably conservative.
Doesn't that trouble you? Isn't that a problem?
It's a problem, but, I mean, it's both sides doing it. I mean, every side is in their little bubble, and they have no idea. People like Eric and Carrie's story is great. These two people can disagree and have different signs and still be neighborly, but, like, there's a problem because people are living, like, Eric and Terry have gotten to know their neighbors so many times, people would just, like, not even get to know them.
I hear that, but what you're saying,
in their own little bubble.
But what you're saying is the bubble of conservatives right now says F your feelings, and the bubble of liberals says kindness. That's a weird.
No, they really don't.
All right, so you're saying you're saying kindness is a facade that you don't buy.
I'm just saying you used the word kindness. You could have probably used a sign that said defund the police and would have made my argument a lot easier.
Okay. Andrea, when you're walking down the street, if you see an F your feeling sign, do you have any doubt about what you're seeing?
No, never. No. And that's, I mean, even, yeah. I'm just, I don't. And I think that that is a large problem that we as a culture, as a country face right now. The fact that there is very little argument on whose quote unquote side you're on when we see certain phrases. I'm actually very interested in the nervous laughter that's been happening in this entire conversation, because I think what it does is it sort of covers up the fact, the uncomfortable truth that we know what's there. But I think the larger thing is people just aren't ashamed of it. People don't care what the impression is that they make on other sides or other groups. And to the question about, do you talk to your neighbors? Neighbors aren't what they used to be, right? There's the old joke about when someone rings your doorbell nowadays, people literally evaporate into thin air because they don't want to be found in their homes anymore. And if someone rings your doorbell, everybody wonders who the heck is there. Gone are the days where you would go out and actually speak to your neighbors. Now, I will say, part of the reason why I have the perspective that I have is that I've lived in my neighborhood for 11 years. And from the first day that I moved in, it's been noted that I'm a person of color, verbally, outwardly, by neighbors. It ain't no secret that the brown lady lives in the corner. Now, that said, if I put a sign up, I regularly have one neighbor who harasses me at every single turn about who I hire to come do my lawn, who's, you know, doing home improvements in my home. He stops and harasses contractors. That is par for the course on any day of the week. So me putting out a sign that says Black Lives Matter, or love is love, or whatever I want to put, or just be kind, I guarantee you is going to garner some truth. And the other question that I have as well is, I regularly fly the American flag, and I'm very proud of that. That said, I have a neighbor who flies his heritage flag, if you will, for what his ethnicity is or his heritage. No American flag, and there is no question about that. But I have a very strong feeling, Evan, that if I were to put up a Puerto Rico flag underneath and of smaller size to the American flag, there would be some question and conversation about that. Potentially backlash.
Would they talk to you directly, or would they mumble under their breath?
Both. I have the kind of people live in my neighborhood that they're going to tell you straight up what they're thinking. So, you know, there might be some mumbling, and there might be like, hey, you know, what's up with that flag?
But some of this, to Andrea, to your point about not knowing our neighbors, I mean, it's been a number of years ago now that Peter Lovenheim wrote a book called In the Neighborhood about not knowing his own neighbors and literally walking up and down the street asking people, hey, how about I spend the night one night? How about we have a little slumber party? And they're going, who the hell are you? And he's like, I live four doors down, you know, and we've never had a conversation. That's sort of the world that you're describing. And do you know the names of the people who live three doors down from you, Andrea? Four doors down, five doors down.
I actually do. Okay. Personally, yep. I make it a point to meet my neighbors, and I do know who they are and their kids and their backgrounds and, you know, where they come from. And I'm very glad to say that there is a pretty diverse neighborhood in just different backgrounds and where they are. But that said, I couldn't name somebody around the corner. And more importantly, what I've seen is that there's a reason to fear the guy around the corner. Unfortunately.
What reason?
I've been approached by the guy around the corner. I've seen different things happen in my neighborhood. And, you know, and it's interesting because where I grew up and at the time that I grew up, the neighborhood that my parents still live in, many of our neighbors there are completely different political perspective. And yet, they're invited to the birthdays and they come to the weddings and we are family friends. And if we ever literally needed a cup of sugar, you go next door and you ask for one, and it doesn't matter what your political affiliation is. But those are the people that I grew up with decades ago. Nowadays, it's a different story.
Okay. Seth, do you know the names of the people three, four, five doors down?
Well, I'm not much of a name guy, but I do know them. yeah, I talk to most everyone.
Okay.
I don't know, but like I'm a little self-absorbed to remember names.
Eric and Terry, do you know the names of your neighbors, you know, more than one or two doors?
Yes, we do.
Have you made it go ahead.
I was going to say, we're very fortunate in our neighborhood. It's quite a nice community, and it's an area of the city that gets a lot of foot traffic, like Terry mentioned, and it's also an area where, due to a city ordinance, no fences are allowed, so all the backyards are sort of open to one another, and whenever people are out, you know, we sort of like walk up and down the street, and we're like, you know, people are like, hey, you know, hey, and how's everything going, and blah, 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 and, you know, we'll mention, hey, we're having something 4th of July, you know, just pre-COVID, of course, but, you know, we're having some people over 4th of July. If you're, you know, if you guys are home, stop over for a drink or, you know, for a hamburger or something like that, and, so we're very fortunate in that regard. And
I want to ask then, not to sort of make it a competition on tolerance. I want to get the perspective of our guests about your concerns or perceptions on who would be tolerant and who would not. Here's an email from Jay on Twitter, who is a conservative. Jay says he's not putting up any yard signs for Trump this year. He says, I like my car paint, mailbox, and windows just as they are, thank you. Jay does not believe that his neighbors would be tolerant of a Trump 2020 sign. Eric and Terry, do you feel, generally speaking, that conservatives or progressives are more or less tolerant than one another, or is it just case by case?
That's a good one. That's a great question. I think it's a personal choice. I really do think that it's up to someone how they react and where they go with that reaction. That's how I feel.
Okay, Seth, what do you think?
I would say that it depends who the majority is in the area. I think if you're a conservative and you're the minority and a liberal majority, I don't think the liberals will be very tolerant. And I think the reverse is true too. So I think who's ever got the power is going to be less tolerant.
Mm. Andrea?
Forgive me, Evan. My phone cut out slightly when you asked the question. So can you say it one more time?
I mean, do you think that there is a difference at all between progressives and conservatives about who is more tolerant of differing opinions in their neighborhoods?
I'm just gonna say it. Yeah. I could put that kindly, but no, I will say I definitely, that's been my experience. So I can't lie about that. I think that in general, there's just less tolerance on the conservative side.
Let's take our only break of the hour, and then I'm going to work through a deluge of feedback from listeners. Seth, Andrea, Eric, and Terry, residents locally talking about their views on political signs, political flags, what it means to be a neighbor, and your feedback after our only break. I'm Evan Dawson. Wednesday on The Next Connections, the president of the Rochester Teachers Association joins us to talk about why he advocated so hard for full remote learning to open the school year. Rochester is the Monroe County district that's decided to go full remote, no in-person learning. Adam Urbanski joins us talking about safety, protecting teachers, protecting students, learning, and more. Talk with you Wednesday. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson talking about political yard signs and the coming national breakdown over them. Steve in Brighton. Hi, Steve. Go ahead.
Hey, Evan. How you doing?
Very good, sir.
This is an interesting topic. First thing I'd like to say is that I've had some terrible neighbors and have had to move because of neighbors, and that I don't post signs because I don't want to ostracize my neighbors. And if they post signs, I don't comment because, you know, your house is a big investment. You don't want to move. I try to be as neighborly as possible. There is a very upscale neighborhood in Brighton that has a lot of Black Lives Matter signs on almost every house. And right in the middle of them, there's a person who evidently is annoyed by it and has hung an American flag, which is two stories tall, from the peak of their roof to a tree on the street lawn. Okay. And as you know, I worked in people's homes, so I was over there looking at a job recently, and a neighbor who is conservative said to me that he loved his house, but he hated his neighborhoods. And so a neighborhood, and I said, well, why? It's a lovely neighborhood. And he said, well, look at those signs. Would you want to live around those signs? And I said to him, well, you do understand, sir, that you know me. You know that I'm a Democrat. And then he commented, yeah, but you're a good Democrat. And I go, well, what do you mean by that? He said, you're a Southern Democrat. And I ended the conversation because it offended me, because he assumed, because I'm a Southern Democrat, that means that I'm an old-fashioned, you know, racist, but otherwise liberal Democrat. It was a bad thing for him to say. I'll move on. That I worked for another woman last week who was a conservative, and told me she was so afraid that she had taken her American flag down that the looters were looking for American flags to knock out the windows. So I just think the whole idea of signage is just a bad idea and serves to divide us even more. Those are my comments.
Yeah, Steve, thank you, and I appreciate that. And I'm sorry to hear about some of the interactions. But, you know, I mean, Andrea, Steve is saying that there are some progressive people who feel like the American flag has been appropriated in a political direction, not for everybody. What do you make of that, Andrea?
I think he brings up some very good points, and admittedly, not a perspective that I had considered or do consider very often, because obviously we can only see from our own eyes. That said, I could see that, and I also see the other side of the coin, that people say the American flag has become a sign of division, that it's, you know, doesn't stand for the same values that it used to, and that freedom isn't for all. So, I mean, I guess it really all depends on, you know, your perspective. And I found it very interesting about the whole, you know, you're a good Democrat. We've begun to assign, you know, good, bad, and ugly to where people stand on their political perspective. And that's dangerous, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like the undertone of that comment that the neighbor made to Steve was, yeah, you're a Democrat, but I can, you know, I can get away with saying racist things to you, or I can, you know, I'm assuming.
Yeah,
that
I mean,
safe.
What that translates to, you know, even in my own experience in my life, what that translates to is, yes, Andrew, you're a person of color, but you're a good person of color. You make it easy for me to like your kind.
And we get that same thing with the gay, you know, thing. Oh, you're a good gay. Don't worry. You're like, you're not out there in, you're not a drag queen, or, you know, you're not out there living an alternative lifestyle that we wouldn't approve of.
a safe gay, the kind of gay
exactly.
That I can be down with. Okay.
A conservative gay.
A conservative gay. A conservative gay. Okay. So let's do this then. So, Seth, you said that the sign that Eric and Terry have, and they acknowledge that there's political threads to it, the love is love, Black Lives Matter, no human is illegal, that sign that has become quite popular. You know, Seth, you see it as political. They admit it's sort of political. Seth, when you're if you had a neighbor who you didn't know much about, and they put that sign up, what's your reaction to seeing that sign?
I don't know. I just walk by and say, oh, another liberal hippie in the neighborhood. But going back to that that caller, I would be curious without that street in Brighton with all those Black Lives Matter signs. I wonder how many African-Americans lived on that street.
But
going back to the whole virtue signal deal.
But I'm not. But why are we laughing at, you know, white people putting Black Lives Matter signs up? Why is that something to laugh at?
Because it's a virtue signal. They don't have to do anything. It's like, oh, I got a sign. I'm out.
Well, listen, that point.
Oh, no, absolutely untrue.
All right, well, hold on one sec. Hold on one sec. Hold on one sec. Let me just explore that point, because I actually do think Seth's larger point is potentially valid, that there are people who because they drive a Prius, they don't have to do any other work on climate change. Or because they put a Black Lives Matter sign up, they don't actually have to do any work to toward a certain cause. But the implication, Seth, is that all white people who have that sign are in that category, and that there's no value.
Well, no, they're probably only like 60-70%. Like, there's people in Brighton. Oh, yeah, they're a great town. Okay, well, why are the basketball rims not up at Buckland Park, but you can play full contact lacrosse and soccer? Like, why don't you go and tell the town supervisor put the basketball rims up?
Okay. Andrea, you wanted to respond on the Black Lives Matter sign comment. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I don't agree that if you just put up a sign that's all that, you know, that you can just disengage from that point forward. I think there's many levels. I just had a fascinating conversation this weekend with someone in the Rochester City School District who was explaining that it just, you know, she acknowledges that she wants to do more. She just doesn't know where to begin. So I think we need to be understanding about where people stand and their perspectives and what they're actually doing. It's two different things. But there are stages to it. It's not just put up a sign and then I'm doing my part. I think looking at that is a little jaded, personally. I think it's a little bit of a jaded view of the world.
Eric and Terry,
I want to trust that people have more faith behind their words.
Mm. Eric and Terry, go ahead. What do you think?
Yeah, I would have to agree with Andrea's point. I mean, everybody has their own, you know, beliefs and opinions, and, you know, we're all made up, whether you're 20 years old or 9 years old. Of course, we're all made up of, you know, every experience we've had that, you know, from the day we were born to present day. But, you know, like Andrea said, a lot of people aren't sure where to go, but, you know, many people who put up a sign do so in support, you know, and whether it's the American flag, like some mentioned, doesn't have as much meaning as it used to, but you're, you know, long before, you know, this war of, you know, Trump versus Biden or whoever, whatever presidential candidates are, you know, up for election or reelection, you know, it's a sign of support. The long sign that we put up that has the political undertone, we mainly put it up, we put that up during LGBT Pride Month that Rochester celebrates, that unfortunately, you know, like every other big city or any city didn't get to celebrate properly because of COVID and all the restrictions and whatnot, but that was mainly a sign of support and just happened to be also supporting the Black Lives Matter Union movement because we want to support the movements. And, you know, I certainly disagree with people putting the fact that people put a sign up just to say, oh, okay, I put a sign up. Now I don't have to do anything else. But I mainly think signs are signs like that, maybe not a Trump sign or a Biden sign. Even those have their own validity as far as a level of support. But I don't think people put up a sign just to say, I put up a sign, I'm not doing anything else, I'm good, and they, you know, wash their hands of any further action.
Well, let me ask our listeners to kind of weigh in on some of these sign debates. Kevin and Victor, go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, I would like to first just comment on the guy who called from Brighton. The guy who said he liked him because he was a Southern Democrat, that in no way necessarily means that he was a racist. It just means that there is a tradition of Southern Democrats being moderate. And as far as Black Lives Matter goes, there are many people, both conservatives and Democrats, who don't appreciate Black Lives Matter because they're extreme radical group who advocate Marxism. They've spoken out against traditional family. They've spoken out against capitalism. You know, they're radically pro-abortion. So you can love black people as your neighbors and your friends and fellow Americans and not support Black Lives Matter.
But Kevin, can I ask you a question, though?
Yes.
You use the word radical, I think, as a way to indicate somebody's view is even potentially dangerous or, you know, unacceptable. Do you see why some people of color would want a radical change in a country in which, you know, we can sit here for hours and talk about the inequality and things that have been perpetrated in this country? Do you understand why some people would have views that differ from yours and are more radical than yours?
Well, I defined what that radicalism was. There's all radicalism. Radical means to get to the root of something. That's what the word means. So yes, if you want to solve a problem, you want to get to the root of it. But defining what that is a whole. That's the rub right there. I define to you what Black Lives Matter stands for, and the majority of Americans don't agree with that. They don't know it yet. They're beginning to. That's why Black Lives Matter, the support is plummeting because they're finding out what Black Lives Matter is really about.
It's a remarkably popular moment for Black Lives Matter. It's one of the most popular political movements in the country, Kevin.
Over the last 2 months, it's been plummeting because people are finding out more about what Black Lives Matter really stands for. It's not like the NAACP. It's not like Martin Luther King.
Okay. And Seth, I know you were agreeing with that, but people are finding out,
quote unquote. Favorability in polls has gone down to 48%.
Yeah.
There was a Wisconsin poll after Kenosha, the 48%.
Remarkably popular for a political movement that is calling for the change it has to have the support of nearly half the country. And that is
we're so divided as a country now. You can just come out and say anything, and half the country will be for it, and half the country will be against it.
No.
Look at Goya Foods.
Come on.
Trump came out, and then all of a sudden people had opinions on Goya Foods.
Okay. this is not a case where I think I want to derail the whole conversation about what Black Lives Matter is about. But I understand for Kevin that is, to him, a signal for something that is radical that he doesn't want. Let me get Lisa in Rochester next on the phone. Go ahead, Lisa.
Oh, hey there, everybody. Hey, Evan. So I just wanted to call. I've got a couple of quick little thoughts that I wanted to throw out there. Specific to signage, you know, I work in, I'm in marketing, and signage is very important for a lot of reasons from a business standpoint, professional standpoint. But signage is old, age old. It's one of the oldest medias out there and forms in which we can communicate with one another. And I think that, you know, for those of us that are comfortable or slightly uncomfortable to put a sign out on our lawn about something that we stand for is admirable, especially because of the hostility that there is right now. And, you know, I was just telling Megan that I just this weekend, 2 days ago, put out, fully expecting and having in the queue a few other waiting to go, I put out a Black Lives Matter sign. I live on the cusp in a suburb, and there's a lot of traffic and foot traffic, and fully expecting that it would get knocked over or taken out or what have you. And, you know, knock on wood, it has not yet. So it's been a pleasant surprise. But, you know, from where I am, I'm like, you know, I'm a member of the LGBTQ plus community, and I have a level of uncomfortability when I put a pride flag out or I put a Black Lives Matter sign out because of safety purposes and because of experiences that I've had to date in my life. But I think that, you know, the caller from Brighton saying, like, let's leave our thoughts to ourselves. It's, you know, it feels very don't ask, don't tell. And, you know, when we're talking about something like racism, for example, Black Lives Matter, it's like something like that is so systemic. We have to have uncomfortable dialogue and conversations with our neighbors, like theoretically and literally. Like, you live next door to somebody, or, you know, neighbors from a larger community standpoint. So, you know, just wanted to throw a couple comments out there, and I'm just really glad that you're having this conversation today.
All right, Lisa, thank you. And building on that point, let me get Elizabeth in Greece, who's been waiting. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Hi, Evan. Yeah, I want to just echo that point, really. Back in July, my 10-year-old asked if we could put a Black Lives Matter sign out, and I was nervous because we live in a very red neighborhood, and already there are dozens of Trump signs around us. And really, I don't think I've ever seen, or very rarely have I seen any kind of Biden sign or Black Lives Matter. So a lot of thought went into that because I had the same worry about our neighbors and not wanting, you know, the sign to get stolen or any vandalism to happen. And so we put it out in July, and so far, it's been, you know, nothing. You know, we have Trump to the left and Trump signs to the left and to the right of us. I'm on the porch every day because I do work there since we're working remotely, and I haven't heard anything. But what I really wanted to address is this idea of virtue signaling, which I do think about, and I do think, am I doing enough in my role? Is putting a Black Lives Matter sign up, does it mean anything? And of course it doesn't, but it also is one movement toward being vocal about the overt racism that I have observed as a white woman in my family and have kept quiet my whole life. So now this is me starting to come out of the shadows, speak up when I see things that need to be talked about, and these uncomfortable conversations do have to happen. And I've been grateful that my neighbors have been open to these conversations and we have been talking about it. So whether you want to call that virtue signaling or not, I feel like it was important for me to do that. And there now I've seen two Biden signs on my street. And if anything, it's just a little bit of it provides a little bit of sense of community and helps me understand that I'm not alone in this very red neighborhood. And it just reduces my anxiety a little bit, because listening to Seth and Kevin, I really do want to distance myself from that ideology. And as being part of this, we live on the West Side, and so there's a lot of this, but a lot of that around. I just want to be clear to my neighbors that in this house, we support Black Lives Matter.
Thank you. I appreciate the phone call, Elizabeth. And we could probably take calls and emails all day, people sharing their experiences on what it means to be a neighbor, political yard signs, reactions to signs and flags. And so I guess where I'm hung up is this, and maybe all of our guests can comment on this. You know, Eric and Terry, I'll start with you. When you think about your neighborhood, if there were a neighbor who also had a Biden sign like you did, but their Biden sign said, Biden 2020, make the conservatives cry, would you support that message, Eric and Terry?
No. And I would actually say something to my neighbor about it, because that's the kind of person that I am. So Eric had to go. So it's just Terry now.
Okay.
I would actually say something to my neighbor about it, to say, what is that? What's this all about? Like, what are you doing? What's the message that you're sending? It just seems controversial. It seems backwards to me.
Okay. Andrea, how would you react if a neighbor had a Biden sign, you know, make the Trump supporters cry?
No, I wouldn't agree with that either. I think that that's just, I think what that does is it dances very dangerously to the formula that this country is sort of subscribing to, which is conversation is no longer allowed. You're either with me or you're against me. Whereas a sign or a flag or a symbol used to mean an invitation to ask someone what their views were, now suddenly putting out a sign means fight me. And so to put up a Biden, put anything that says, put this up, just vote so-and-so or do whatever, make other people cry, dude, you're clowning around. You're not trying to be neighborly. You're not trying to do anything interesting or engaging. It's just straight up baiting people and trying to pick a fight. And unfortunately,
when our neighbor put the Trump sign up after we put the Biden sign up, our first reaction was, we've got to get a bunch of signs that say pro-America, anti-Trump, and kind of like litter the lawn. And then we sat back and thought about it and was like, no, we're not doing that. Because then we become at war with one another. And it's really not about that. It's about the freedom to express how we believe and what we view, and our neighbor having the freedom to express his beliefs and how he views it.
So, Seth, you said earlier this hour that when you see the Trump 2020, the sequel, Make the Liberals Cry Again sign, you laugh at it. Why is that funny?
It's funny. Like, someone put that sign up. You know, like, it's just a sign. Like, they're all just signs. None of them, like, I don't know. I don't think you're changing any values with signs, so at least make me giggle a little bit.
Well, I guess what the reason I asked that is because, you know, I've heard from more listeners we can count who say, you know, we used to be able to agree and agree to disagree, but we never, not until now, we haven't had signs. There were no Mitt Romney make the liberals cry signs. McCain 2008 make the Dems cry. Those did not exist. There is something different about this moment. And I do think the notion of building community requires us to say, yeah, you can put up a different sign and we can talk about it. But if your goal is to make me cry, if your goal is for me to hurt, that's what's different about this. We've never had a political movement that celebrates when their neighbors are hurting. That's what I don't understand about this, Seth. Am I wrong?
It's just a sign. Like, I mean, there's anti-Trump signs all the time. Go on cable news. All the late-night talk show hosts, all their comedy routines are making fun of Trump and Trumpist supporters. So you're getting mad at a sign, whereas you have the entire mass media that's, like, hammering Trump and Trump supporters all day. Like, it's a two-way street, and it's like, oh, we got to have community. Oh, let me post this. Who's that comedian? John Oliver, 20-minute rant on HBO.
I take the point that at times the media can feel like it's loaded up and mocking.
Right. So, like, I'm like, whatever. You guys are getting mad at a sign. You got the entire mass media attacking Trump and his supporters 24/7. So I'm telling you to get over it.
All right. Well, Andrea Holland, you're the reason we're here. Last 30 seconds for you. Go ahead, Andrea.
It is a luxury to live in America and laugh at a sign. I'm glad I'm not glad that it's a luxury, but, you know, Maya Angelou said words are things, and I do believe that. Words are things. They get into you, and they get into the environment. And so to laugh, we'll see who laughs last. I don't know.
Andrea, thanks for talking about a subject that you probably never thought you'd be talking about publicly. I know that about you. Thanks for making time for us, Andrea.
Thank you.
Terry, and to Eric as well, thanks for sharing your story, and I appreciate the perspective. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Seth, thanks for making time. Thanks for coming on the program.
No problem.
And to all the listeners who emailed, commented, called, apparently we should keep talking about this and keep trying to build better neighborhoods, because there are going to be people who disagree with us, even though it's less and less in the neighborhoods we live in. We are separating ourselves more and more. Rob Braden is the engineer. Megan Mack is the producer. I'll see you and talk to you tonight, 8 p.m., WXXI TV and WXXI Radio for a live forum on reopening schools. See you then.